Hey, HomoGround listeners, this is Susie of Susie Q Bookkeeping, speaking to business owners and creatives who could use some help with bookkeeping and taxes. My company, Susie Q Bookkeeping, is a small, queer woman-owned, independent bookkeeping firm. I love helping new business owners get started with strong accounting practices. It is deeply rewarding to support people who have decided to risk it all and go out on their own. Having Susie Q Bookkeeping on your team means being in control of your accounting like the boss you are. We are trusted advisors who help our clients grow. Go to susieqb.com, that's SUSIEQB.com, to learn more about us.
What's up, alien gang? This is Vince the Alien, and you're listening to HomoGram.
I think about the When I started writing that song, it was another one that was just kind of like, man, like, I'm in this situation with this person. There's not really a definition of what it is. We aren't actually doing anything, but neither of us are really available for each other at that time. And yeah, I don't know. That one hits me. So I'm hoping like people really vibe with it. Cause every time, I mean, like, not to be like cocky, but I'm just excited about that song because I think it just has a really cool message. I like that it's like written in a storytelling format. And it's another one that I didn't really sit down and think about. It just was kind of like, I'm just gonna sing. And I know in my head that I want to tell this story of this relationship that I was in with this guy, but I don't really know exactly what I want to say. But I do remember making out with him and he had on a cowboy hat. So I was just like, okay, cool. Like, let me try to figure this out. And it was on Santa Monica and Gardner. And I, like, those little elements I knew were there. It was just an exciting process. But there's also like this sense of kind of reaching this place of allowing myself to sort of heal from these past relationships that I've had. So it's kind of like this, of course, there's this, like I said, there's a centrality, but there's also a healing aspect of it. So it's kind of this combustion of both of those feelings at the same time. I think with the process of this, I mean, I was very lucky to meet one of my really good friends who goes by Others 9000. He does most of the production. He'll start off kind of with a track. He'll send me these very loose tracks, like really bare. So at the beginning of this EP in particular, like he sent me probably around 50 or 60 tracks. And they weren't like all fully done. They just kind of were, hey, this piece might work here. I don't know. What do you want to do? So he sends them all to me. And I just kind of sat down, listened to a lot of them, kind of pieced some things together. The way that I approach this EP lyrically is I didn't write anything down. I really wanted it to feel like this vulnerable kind of stream of consciousness. And so I just kind of started recording whatever came to mind. And then we kind of just bounced back and forth and then started kind of piecing different parts together. And it was really nice because I think in the past I have approached writing very in a box, like very like, oh, this has to be here and this chorus has to be here. And I wanted to kind of add some vulnerability and also pull from like those kind of trip hoppy Portishead. You know, growing up, I was such a huge like Nine Inch Nails fan, but I also really loved Maxwell and I also really loved D'Angelo. And then I also really loved all kind of these little indie bands that kind of had that Nine Inch Nails vibe and trip-hop like inspiration. I don't know if you know who Royston Murphy is. She's one of my favorite artists of all time. And I've been following her since she was in Moloko, which was her and her boyfriend's band before she kind of went solo. You know, she was really inspired by that trip-hop. So all that kind of stuff kind of like blends in. And then in the gospel aspect of, you know, just like, you know, growing up, I did sing in choirs a lot in my church. And I've always liked that sound of a bunch of voices together, not really supposed to be working the way they work, but they work. So I like to influence that in a lot of like the texture. So and a lot of the harmonies and a lot of things like that. So I think kind of approaching any of my songwriting, I'm always thinking about how can I make this vulnerable? How can I kind of play with the in the box structure of songwriting? And how can I keep this like authentic to who I am? The thing that I really love about this EP and this project is it's the first time that I really felt like I allowed myself to sing the way that I want to sing. I didn't really hold back. I just was kind of like, you know what? I know I want to do 40 harmonies under one verse. So like, let me just do it. And then if it doesn't work, I can edit. But like, let me at least just allow myself to have fun and do it. And I think it created a really cool project and a really cool product that I hope people really connect to and feel sexy and sad at the same time.
slipping. Whatever you do, just keep it slipping, slipping. Cowboy hat versus black boy, false face and ass. Memorize the scene in my eyes. Lying next to you after you ride the past. East side's big to the point where we.
Honestly, now that song, I went in like, okay, I want to make a song that somebody can get a lap dance to and that strippers can just own. Like, that was the goal. That was 100% the goal. I'm excited about that one too, because that was my first time kind of fully producing a track. I was so nervous. Because I'm so used to collaborating with others, 9000 or like some other producers that I work with. And I just had this idea. I heard those horns in my head. I figured out how to like play them. And then the song just kind of started working. And I knew, like, as soon as I heard those horns, I was like, I really want to make a song that someone can just strip to. Like, just like unapologetic. Like, I'm giving you a lap dance. Buy me a drink, get me a, I want, like, I envision somebody in like a lowrider, just like riding down in Houston or something, being like, hey, I'm the shit and let's do this, you know? And I mean, harmonies are definitely, I think I just like growing up in a very musical family, you know, I have just, I don't know, like there's just something about a bunch of voices together that just like gets me, you know? And I think about, like, one of the things I love to do is just kind of be, like I was mentioning earlier, just like unapologetically harmonizing a bunch of crazy things and seeing if it works. And I think just, like I said, like growing up in a family that's very musical, just hearing a lot of my family just do different harmonies together, like whenever we sing happy birthday to each other, we're always singing like different parts and it just is working so organically together. And I think that just really inspires me so much. And, you know, like even growing up when I was in high school, I remember my friends used to make fun of me because we would like go on rides and just go on drives listening to new music. And I would always harmonize like while sitting in the back seat or in the front seat, kind of subtly, just like kind of playing around with my voice. And my friends still to this day are like, man, there's so many times when I listen to this song and like I can't listen to it anymore because like I always hear you harmonizing. It's just something that's always like inspired me. And that's honestly one of my favorite parts of doing music. It's just like having that moment of just, I'm gonna record 50 harmonies today and just see what happens, you know? It may not work, but it's fun, you know?
When you recorded these songs, I know you mentioned you'd been working on them for a couple of years.
Yeah. So I recorded a demo version of CH9000 and Felt So Good In Your Arms, maybe end of last year. And then I kind of started re-recording a couple different parts at the top of the year. And then a couple of other songs I recorded like literally in the past like couple months. And I recorded it all in here. And I also recorded it at my old apartment and just kind of recorded it in a closet or in this room. And then just tried to make sure that they sound good and that they weren't peaking. I mean, that's a nice thing about now. You can kind of YouTube real quick and just figure out like what works and what doesn't work. And I think it's really beneficial for me as a vocalist because I'm able to kind of be like, hey, I have this idea. Let me just set up my mic really quick and kind of flush it out and just see if anything happens or flesh it out. So yeah, I've definitely just recorded all of this at home and just kind of gone back and forth with my producer and my mixer and just tried to make sure that everything sounded good. And it's been a great experience because it's taught me a lot about my own voice. You know, I've always loved singing, but I think, like I was saying, this EP has really been the first time where I've really pushed myself to sing exactly how I want to sing. And it was really nice to kind of learn, oh, hey, like I can kind of do this weird note that shouldn't work, but does kind of work. Or I can sound really horrible if I try this note. So it was a really good experience. I'm trying to figure that out.
If you've ever been interested in starting your own Kickstarter, Patreon, crowdfunding campaign, or you just want to learn how to build a better community with your audience, whether you're a musician who's trying to engage with your fans, or you have a project where you just want to build a community around the work that you're doing, join us on Sunday, March 28th for our monthly virtual Homo Time event. We'll have special guest Haley Rosenblum, who will be joining us to talk about crowdfunding and community building. Haley was one of Kickstarter's very first employees who was the music outreach lead. Haley now manages Amanda Palmer's Patreon community and also did college radio, so Haley brings years of experience on these topics. The event is free to anyone, so head over to homoground.com/homotime to RSVP. We'll be doing the event on Zoom, so RSVP to get that Zoom link. And if you can't make it, we'll have a recording of the event available on our Patreon for Patreon supporters. And if you missed last month's Homo Time event, we had queer record label Cruisin' Records join us, along with artists from their roster, including Wizard Apprentice, Danny Denial, and members of Old Dark House, Mandate and Nana Grizzle, all of whom you heard on our last episode, number 266. If you want to catch that recording, it's also available on our Patreon too. Head over to homoground.com/Patreon.
Cherry pits around the inside of my mouth. Hey, hey. And when I press my lips against the flesh of peaches, biting down and rubbing my lips against it in order to fulfill myself with every ounce of juice that you provide me. Shot after shot, take me back to your love. You become my tequila cowboy with a side of fruit. And who knew that I'd still romanticize you? After
tequila cowboy with a side of rue.
Yes.
Yeah. I still romanticize you when I think about your love. The passion and confusion. Empty arguments with heavy tears, broken hearts. Most fit together thinking that we survive. The slow dripping of your torture, the revs up, the pleasure, the sexual endeavors that come from the anger. I take shot after shot to bring me back to you. You become my tequila cowboy with a side of rue. Drip, drip, dripping with the western. With that western seduction, drip, drip, dripping, you become my devotion. Take shot, take shot to bring me back to your love. You're my tequila cowboy, so I take shot after shot to bring me back to your love. You're my tequila cowboy. With the side of fruit, with the side of fruit, you become my muse, my sustenance, my food. I take shot after shot to bring me back to your love. You're my tequila cowboy with a side of fruit.
That was another, like, With a Side of Fruit is another one that I really was excited to write, those kind of more like imagery driven lyrics. And I think I've always had this kind of obsession prior to Timothée Chalamet with a peach. Like, I think I've always had this kind of obsession with, like, the idea of fruit tying in with sensuality. Like, because I think there's this, like, pleasure that you get from, like, there's a, like, when you bite a really good peach versus when you eat, like, oh man, this is not ripe. Like, there's this sense of pleasure that you get. And I think it's kind of reminded me of this connection to, like, lust and love and the story that I'm trying to figure out. Like, what does lust mean? What does love mean to me? You know, what is important to me about lust and what's important to me about love? And I think growing up too, I had so much shame around lust. You know, growing up in a predominantly Christian family and being queer and, like, not particularly being accepted as a kid. And then also, you know, not really understanding how sex and sensuality tied into my life as a queer kid, growing up being told, like, your idea of sexuality is wrong and I don't believe in your idea of sexuality. So I think it's this, I think playing with that imagery of, like, fruit, and that seems very innocent, but kind of reminds me of me fantasizing as a kid, because that's really the only world that I could really live in to understand or express my attraction to men. And I would fantasize about, like, eating persimmons with this hot guy at a park in Spain, or, like, you know, like, all these little things when I'm a kid, not like five, but like 14, 15, you know? And that was, like, the only place I could really kind of live in my head around that kind of stuff. So that, I mean, With a Side of Fruit was really fun. And I also wanted to end the EP with this. It's a little bit more upbeat. Drums are a little bit more lighter. But it summarizes this idea of this romanticism and of like young love, and thinking back to that moment when you're just, like, obsessed with someone, and that exciting feeling of, like, oh man, I had that experience to love someone. I just felt different growing up. You know, I didn't feel like I fit in. I didn't feel like people really understood me, mostly in my family. Like, I just felt like my family didn't really understand who I was. I kind of hid myself a lot as a kid, because I knew I was different. I didn't know exactly what it was, but I knew that I was different, and I could not really figure out how to define it. And I think I spent a lot of time in my own universe and in my own head, and a lot of time in my bedroom just kind of like writing poetry or writing songs. And a lot of those poems as a kid were about this idea of wanting to create this other universe where I could be myself. I think going through therapy really helped me kind of just like embrace that, because I think there was such a big part of me that wanted to hide that aspect of me still, even as an adult, because it felt scary to kind of be a little bit vulnerable. It felt scary. I was fearful of, you know, if I try to do this thing, what if people don't accept it? And what if people are like, this doesn't make any sense, bro. Sorry. But I think my, you know, talking to my therapist and also, you know, having a conversation with my husband and also with my family too, it just really empowered me to be like, you know what, like, I'm just going to embrace this, because I do feel alien and I do feel different. And I would have loved to have been on Roswell. Like, you know, I would have loved to date somebody on Roswell. So in my head, I'm just like, forget it. I'm just going to like embrace it and enjoy what it is. And also, I think there's so many people out there who feel similar, you know, whether queer or not. You know, I think there's so many people out there that feel very similar to feeling ostracized or different or not really understood. And I kind of wanted to create this community, which is like why I use that like hashtag alien gang. Whatever, whoever you are, like, I got you, you know, and like, let's have each other, you know, regardless of what your sexual orientation is, your gender identity, your race, like all that stuff. Like, we can unite and we can get through this together and really uplift and support each other and let each other know, like, hey, you're worthy. And it doesn't, I know that it can be difficult, but like, let's just remember, like, let's remind each other, like, hey, we're all worthy. Let's just keep pushing.
I've cleaned the floors a million times over, waiting for your return. I've watered my plants to the point that they may drown, waiting for your return. Fear.
Yeah, so eventually I worked on with my friend Rich, and that song is, it was a hard one too, because it was, it's kind of a little bit of a double meaning. Like, I think it was, that song is a combination of two things. It was me really allowing myself to recognize that I needed to let go of my ex, because I had been holding on to him for a very long time. It was a relationship that I was in that was not super, super long, but we really, really, really loved each other. It just was not working. And we tried so hard to hold on to it, so hard. And, you know, it took me admittedly like a few years to get over that relationship. I think it was the one relationship that really damaged me. And I had to really kind of face that. And, you know, in the beginning of my relationship that I'm in now with my amazing partner, like, I still was holding on to it. You know, I was still holding on to that relationship. I was still holding on to what that relationship meant to me. I was still holding on to the sexual relationship that I had in that relationship mentally, you know, and it was me allowing myself to finally be like, I have to put this to rest. Like, even though there was a part of me that still was kind of longing for whatever that relationship represented for me. And then on the other side of it, it really was this exploration of me being scared to accept getting a little bit older and not being as young and like fresh as I used to be. And so this idea of like, eventually I will need to let go of this fear of me no longer feeling as attractive as I did or as yearned for as I did when I was much younger. So it kind of was like this journey of me letting both of those things go at the same time. And that's why I wanted to really draw these visuals of like, I'm thinking about this ex, but I'm also thinking about my fear of getting older and not being young anymore, you know, not as young anymore. And that kind of like blank stare of, you know, like when I say in the beginning, I've cleaned the floors a million times over, just kind of like that repetition of like, you're doing the same thing over and over and over and over because you can't let go of this thing. So eventually, like, I need to just let this go while also being like, but I want to hold on to it just a little bit. Like, you know, like, so that's where the eventually part comes in, because it was like, you need to let this go, but... So yeah, that was kind of the process of that. Like, songwriting for me is this really beautiful opportunity to tell these stories and also to give myself an the selfish side of it is to give myself an opportunity to like actually be honest and vulnerable and real with myself too.
I stood on the corner, been waiting for ya since yesterday. Since yesterday, on the corner of 4th and La Brea, been waiting for ya to come back to this spot. Hey, hey, we met 2 years ago.
2 years, 2 years. Hey,
I've been longing for us to reconnect, reconnect, and talk about how it did. It got when we was together, how crazy shit was. All I wanted was your love, but you couldn't get that to me, cause you was stuck on some nigga. So that came before me,
that came before me.
Why couldn't you just let go and let me know how much you in fact adore me?
Did you even adore me?
So I've been waiting on this corner,
corner, corner,
for your love, for your love, for your love, to return to my hand. Just let me know that we got peace like a dove, like a dove, a dove. Damn, I've been so broken hearted since I left you.
Left you.
Been dreaming about you every night. Ooh, been crying.
That's why I wait on this corner. Come on, you to come back to my love.
Timothée Chalamet, my Ilio, and call me by your name. You're my little peach, you're driving me insane. What a place in Italy just for you and I, gang, gang. But it's so damn hard to let you know how I feel. That's why I wrote this song so I could be real. You're my little novel that I can't put down, yeah. Can I be your Oliver, your best love, yeah, yes.
I stood on the corner, been waiting for ya to come back to the spot. To the spot, I'ma keep the block hot until you come back to the spot. Yeah, yeah. For you to come back to my love.
Gonna lie, I really loved Call Me By Your Name. It's a great film. A lot of people give it really harsh reviews, but it was such a beautiful film, and the way they shot it was really great. And like we said, that peach scene was iconic. I think, you know, seeing that film, I won't lie, the first time I saw that movie, I walked out and started crying because it made me think about those fantasies as a teenager and like being in my own head. And it made me also think about, you know, relationships that I have been that have been like really beautiful like that and really kind of youthful and romanticized and like these ideas. I think when Others 9000 sent me that track, I just was like, okay, let's just try something. And then when I got to the bridge, I was like, I feel like rapping. Like, and I just jokingly was talking to my friend on the phone and I was like, dang, you know, sometimes it's crazy to me that people are losing their shit over Timothée Chalamet. But I get it. He's really cute. I would love to have my own little Timothée Chalamet. And then I was like, oh, that's such a good idea. And I literally hung up the FaceTime with her and I was like, I have to write this song right now. I have to write this bridge right now. And so, yeah, it kind of still plays with that idea of, like, I wanted to take this youthful, kind of beautiful story that I connected to because it brought me back to those fantasies of, like, wanting to be in love in another country and, like, wanting to experience fruit, like, with someone else. And also, I just wanted to be kind of silly and stupid with the song, like, and just be like, let's have fun with this. Yeah, I mean, there's definitely, if you want to follow me on Instagram, you could just follow me at Vince the Alien. Also on Twitter, I'm not as active on Twitter, but you can follow me if you'd like. I might post a few political things every now and then. And then you can find my EP on Spotify. It's also going to be on Apple Music. And if you'd like to check out my website, it is vincethealien.space. And it's a pretty fun little experience.
Featured in this episode was Music and Words of Vince the Alien, interviewed by D, one of our Homoground producers who has made mixtapes for us in the past, and also you might recognize as a familiar face as host of our virtual Homo Time events. D's also in a band, FBGM, and also has a podcast about dog walking called Talkin' Walkies. Head over to homoground.com/episode267 and you can find links to follow Vince the Alien on social media and check out his website. And also you can find links to follow Dee and their podcast Talkin' Walkies on Instagram. I'm Casper, your host, just giving you all of the housekeeping things that you love to stick around and listen to. And hey, if you made it this far, send us a message on Twitter or Instagram or whatever platform you use. Let us know and we'll give you a shout out on the next episode. Perfect if you want to give a birthday shout out to someone. Shout out to Professor Goldstein, Lovechild, and Holly Israelson. Thanks for joining Homoground on Patreon. And thanks to our sponsors, Suzy Q Bookkeeping. If you're in need of a bookkeeper, keep it in the family. Let's circulate that queer coin. Visit suzyqbookkeeping.com. I hope you liked this episode, and if you did, it would be great if you could share it with a friend or share it on your own social media, in your email newsletter, on your blog, on your live Twitch stream, whatever it is that you do, whatever platform you have. We have over 250 episodes. This is number 267. So the best thing that you can do is just share the music that you love, and leaving us an iTunes review doesn't hurt either.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
This is the place where Black is the main character, where we dive into something new like the latest season of Them, The Scare, and the award-winning American Fiction. Or add to the experience by buying or renting the biopic of a legend, Bob Marley, One Love. And add on channels like Paramount Plus and Stars to bask in nostalgia with Beverly Hills Cop and BMF. Explore Prime Video's culture-rated collection and enjoy old-school greats and new-school hits. Restrictions apply. See Amazon.com/AmazonPrime for details.